Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. Here is LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into the Word. So what I'd like for you to do is to go ahead and get some paper and a pen, and you can write down any comments or any questions that you might have. And at the end of the ministry tonight, we'll allow you to bring those questions out so that we can all grow by that which every joint supplies. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my body. As I share the living word, the bread of life, Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by sojourning in the Spirit, in the fullness of his grace, as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory, because you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victories in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is part 6 of prayers that avail much. And again, when I say that, this is not to imply that your prayer life is not exactly what you need it to be. It's not as fruitful as it should be. No, I'm just trying to get us all on the same page, so that we would be able to do like the things that were happening in the first church, okay? Because since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if we see it in the Word, we should see it in our lives. If we see it in the Word, we should see it in the earth. God is wanting to have witness to testify of his power, his greatness, his love. And a lot of times, because of situations and maybe bad training, that we back away from what God says we should walk in. See? He wants us to be established in truth. He wants us to be established in peace. So much so that we have peace to the point where it overflows, where it enters into the lives of those that we come in contact with. See, he wants to show himself strong, the Bible tells us. So then strong to him and strong to you might mean different things. See, strong to some people might mean just getting my rent paid. And there's nothing wrong with having your rent paid. But strong, when God says it, is that it is a thing that causes men to talk about what you do as a good work. It says men will see your good works and they will glorify God. They will talk about God. So then I have to ask, you know, where is that testimony at? See? Because when we can get that done, then we'll be able to cause people to be converted. Sinners will be converted. That's what he said in Psalms 55. See, 51, I'm sorry. He says that teach me how to do this, God, so that sinners will be converted to you. That we'll be able to have people saying, take not your Holy Spirit from me. I mean, you know, because in the book of Acts, the Bible says they went from house to house daily. And here we are trying to fight and scavenge 10 people to come to the ministries on a weekly basis. He said they did this daily. And if that wasn't enough, the Lord added to the church daily those that should be saved. See, he didn't have, if you would, scheduled healing meetings. He just had a collection of saints that had learned how to tap into prayers that avail. See? It doesn't make me greater than you, smarter than you, with more anointing than you, because first of all, it's not about you. You are simply vessels by whom testimony can be given that would glorify God. That's all we are. Wow. Okay. He didn't even say that these vessels were vessels that had all of the polish and shine on them. As a matter of fact, in chapter 4, it said that the men that was questioning Peter, they said they took knowledge that they were ignorant and unlearned men. See? And the only thing they took from them was not, boy, didn't they look good. It was that they had spent time with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. After they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men. See? I mean, what are we trying to prove? Because it says clearly in Philippians 2 that Jesus made himself of no reputation, even though he was equal to be. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he did not make a reputation for himself. So then we become those that have to put our own press out there and then believe our own press. See, that's not the way that it's supposed to be. See, it's supposed to be as we glorify God that we're leaving the whole thing on the men to recognize that God's anointing is present. Okay? This is what we want to produce. This is what we need to release. Because that's the witness that we also have spent time with Jesus. That we are aligning our life so that he can pour through us the things that are necessary for us. You know, when he says, give and it shall be given unto you, that was not just talking about money. Because I'm supposed to be those that give my life away. I give myself away so that you can use me. See? I must decrease. So that you can increase. So as I pray that almost every time, then as I am decreasing and as he is increasing, he becomes the one that's altogether lovely. Didn't he say that if I be lifted up, I will then draw men unto you? Why? Because you keep offering them me. You don't offer them yourself. You offer them me. Paul says, I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I've crucified. I don't come to you in the knowledge of man, in alluring words. That's not the way I show up. I show up as small as I can get so that he can increase, so that he will be bigger. Why is it that we go to people that think that problems are larger than life, and we don't present them the Jesus that's larger than problems? See? I mean, how big is your God? See? When it should be different. There should be an understanding that there is a difference between the way you serve and the way people that don't love God on a daily basis, they love God to the best that they think he wants. Because if he says, oh, Lord, I'm trying not to get people mad, but the word says that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So then if my deal now has changed from a place where his name has been placed, okay, that's the one that we have to look at. I haven't seen, just me, I haven't seen him place his name on the internet. I haven't seen him place his name there. He placed his name on the place of gathering that saints should be at. He placed his name in the, okay. So yes, wherever two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. I get that. I'm not disputing that. But he wants a physical manifestation. That's why he put it on the place. See? When you come into this place. And I'm not trying to split hairs. I'm not mad at you deciding that it's going to be a online version or a radio version. I'm not mad. Amen. But consider that if I'm looking for an impact on the world, then I have to submit to what he said, not to submit to what we think is enough. Okay? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When you are an internet-only participant in salvation, then that's not dwelling, because I don't get to see the real you. Amen. Well, some of them, I don't need them to see the real me. Yes, you do, because your witness is necessary. I need to see how you endure when a trial comes up. I can't see that on the internet. I can hear about it through a testimony written or recorded. I can get that, but I don't see you go through it. See? But when we come together and we have the ability to have a tangible, come on, see? Jesus dwelt among us and became flesh. That's tangible. The word dwelt among us, and the word became flesh. So that if I'm only participating where I can still be me without being judged, then I haven't let Jesus shine through. Jesus doesn't particularly care. He's not worried about a judgment, particularly since he's already told you in Isaiah 54 that every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you will condemn, because this is your heritage as you respond as a servant of the Lord. And sometimes it's evident that we throw that away, because I'm not sitting before people so that men can, come on, y'all, that men can see your good works. He didn't say that men would hear about your good works. He said that men should see it. And it's difficult to only participate in an online or an auditory gathering when you need to see good works. Amen. I'm just reading scripture as scripture is written. Because if God is the same, just as a question, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, does he expect us to be the same witness in the earth? Amen. See, we're supposed to be like our Father. We're supposed to be converted into the image of Christ. Converted into the image of Christ Jesus. The image of Christ Jesus has the connotation that there will be something seen. Is that correct? So, I mean, we're going to throw away a lot of things that happened as the church began that's necessary now because we're not even gathering. You do remember that Peter was walking down the street. He was not trying to have a scheduled healing meeting. He was walking down the street, and people were healed because of his shadow. So here we are, simply online, and not moving our faith to the place where the miracle that we want to happen can happen because we haven't gathered. Okay? Just some selah there. I mean, if we're going to do this in that manner, then let's have the breakout of healings because we're still there. And I understand that when he was teaching the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord was present to heal. I get that. But we haven't come at it from that angle. To me, we've gathered because of convenience and or fear, whichever one. See? And Jesus was not too happy when his disciples were gathered together because of fear. Okay? He wasn't too happy. The Bible says he upbraided them because they wouldn't do what he had told them to do. Oh, that's true, too. Hadn't thought about that. Okay. Did he not tell them to go ye? I'm just asking questions. Did he tell them to have testimony time? Or did he tell them to go ye? And he said, go ye into all. And here we are. We are gathering for whatever the fear is, okay? Because you can see that a COVID account has made people move into the place where functioning, as he said, is not actually happening. See? I mean, we just got to look at it so that we can at least, there is no real reason why we should do less than what the disciples did. Amen. They were afraid of being killed, and I get that. That's legit. I understand that. But they also released the power of God even then. Because they did go, okay, come on. They did go and do what Jesus said. Otherwise, he could not have had these signs breaking out, these wonders breaking out, could it? See? So, I mean, we've got to grow past the last level, okay? Not because it's all about us, but in order for his word to be fulfilled through us, we're going to have to come to the point where people see things that they haven't seen before. They're going to have to be able to participate in the plan of God that makes them want to grow. See? I don't know that they would want to grow if all they get is business as usual. See? If that's all it is, then are we actually participating in the word of God to the next level? See? He wants us to be able to cause people not to be slow of heart. Okay? He wants us to have people that are on fire. That they experience the touch of God to the point where it causes them to say, boy, I am happy that he showed up for me, that he shows out for me. See? We got to get to the next level of this thing. Jesus, he upbraided them because they were allowing fear to have them in a place where he didn't tell them to be, in an attitude that he didn't tell them to be. See? They were gathered together because of the fear. And again, when you allow fear to be the motivator, he says that your heart begins to fail. Now is the time when people are afraid, and we should be able to show them that the power of God, he's able to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraint. See, we should be able to show that to them, make them understand that. Okay? I have no problem with an application that causes wisdom and faith to be in the same sentence, not wisdom and fear. Amen. The position that you see many Christians in now is they are in a position of wisdom and fear. There is a wisdom that does not descend. There's a wisdom that comes up from above. James tells us about that. But it was still called wisdom, wasn't it? Okay, just so that you can see that, turn to James chapter 3, I believe it is. See? And I just want you to know, all right? Chapter 3, verse... All right, just so that you can see it in context. And this was James trying to help us with our mouth and the things that we say, and not having our mouth and our actions to be separated, because our mouth and our actions are supposed to be connected. James chapter 1 through chapter 5 says that to us, okay? He says don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, because if you are not doers of what you hear, you are deceiving yourselves, okay? If your actions are not lining up, he says, don't be a person full of wrath, because the wrath of God does not employ or work the righteousness of God. See? I mean, he's perpetually talking about us, about the things that we say and do lining up. See? Because that's what Jesus said. If you believe in your heart the things that you say, those things that you say will come to pass. He needs your heart to align with your mouth, and then your actions align with your heart and your mouth. And that's the way the kingdom operates. These are kingdom principles, kingdom laws. You can't avoid them and change them at your behest. See? You hear it in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. See? So if faith has risen you up, okay, if faith has got you up, then you should walk in the faith. You shouldn't sit back down after faith has raised you up. Okay? That would be about the best way that I can say that. And a lot of times we haven't heard faith on this wise. We haven't heard it on this wise before. Okay? So then if you haven't heard it that way, faith didn't come, so then how can you walk in that which you have not functioned out the processes of hearing it and receiving it? See, just hearing the word, that's not enough. You have to receive it, then do it. The Bible says that the devils know there's one God, and they tremble. See? But yet they not doing what the word says. Let's just, since you're right there, chapter 3, just back up to verse 19 of chapter 2. Chapter 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. All right, just so that we can hear this. Even so, he asks this Even so, faith, if you don't do the things that you say you believe, faith without works is dead, and it says it will be alone. Oh, God in heaven. This was not part of the ministry, but there it is. He says, if you have faith, faith that does not have corresponding actions or works is dead because it is alone. Wow, did you get that? Because faith not mixed with what you're supposed to be doing by faith, then the faith still stands alone. Did not say that it was it did not say that it was impossible to be done. It's still standing and waiting, but it is now standing alone. You are not coupled with that faith. Did you see that? You have Lord. You say that you have faith, and you put it on display so that people will know that you have faith, not know that you're connected to God, so that the victory that you're looking for by faith will be made manifest. You just want to say, see, I got faith. But yet you don't have any corresponding actions, so your faith now is not presented in unity. It is presented alone. Come on, y'all. That's what he said. It says, you say you believe, but you don't do what is necessary, then how are you believing? Verse 18, after this faith has been found to just be alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my. They have to align. So you're telling me that you got faith, but there is no corresponding action. So your faith is alone. Or your faith is without evidence, without works. That I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. Didn't get them saved at all. It said they believed that there is one God. But they're still on the outside of the covenant provisions. But you ask them, and they will tell, devils, he said, will tell you there is one God, but it has no benefit in their life. Come on. See? He said you do good to believe that there is one God. But where is the corresponding action? Okay, so let's investigate that. If you believe there is one God that is almighty and all powerful, why would you be scared of anything any other God could do? Hello. It says if you believe that there's one God, you do well. That's a good thing. Now let's do the litmus test on that. Let's see if that works. See? Because he said, believing that there is but not having corresponding action does not profit you. Why? Because he said it is alone. He said it is dead. Verse 17. I didn't make that up. There it is in black and white in your Bible. I didn't run to your house and put that in your Bible. He says, if you have faith but you don't have corresponding actions, then that faith that you have is faith that is dead and alone. Okay? So there has to be some things that we have to get straight and understand. We are in the last of the last days. So then if we don't have the evidence that's necessary to persuade people to come out of the darkness, out of hiding, that would be a good thing for darkness to function under, wouldn't it? Hiding? Amen. You can easily hide in dark. There was even a song in my day, Slipping into Darkness. See? But God wants us to walk upright, and here we are slipping into darkness. So then the faith that we say we have is not being readily seen, is it? Men are gathering and connecting faith and fear. Wisdom and fear. Let's read on. I want you to see this. Of how people that walk with God walk in a higher dimension. Okay? So back to chapter 3, verse 11 and following. He asks us, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And the answer would be no. Is that correct? So then I can't have wisdom connected to fear if I'm supposed to have wisdom that's connected to faith. The same source. You are that source. The words that come out of your mouth, should they be wisdom and fear, or should they be wisdom and faith? Okay, we're going to answer that question in a minute. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or either vine, figs? So you cannot, so no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his conversation or lifestyle his work with meekness of wisdom. But if there be any bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, he's talking about what? Wisdom. And he says, this wisdom descends not from above, but it is earthy, it is sensual, it is devilish. So there is a wisdom that does not come from above, but it is still wisdom. Is that what he said right there? That this wisdom does not come from above, but it is earthy, sensual, devilish. It hangs out in a flesh position. It is sensory perceived, sensual, not just sexually with sexual overtones. It is sensual. I feel good when I do this. Sensual. And how many believers have we seen, known, or perceived as being led by sensory perception? See? That's just not where God wants us. He wants us to be those that believe, and because we believe, we speak. We have in the same spirit of faith, believe, therefore we speak. See? Therefore, we decree what heaven has said, and when whatever heaven has said becomes a doctrine, it's already doctrine in heaven. Now it's going to be seen down here on earth. See? It becomes prophecy to us because it is doctrine in heaven. See? His word is forever settled in the heavens. That means it is already doctrine. When we get it, it becomes prophecy to us. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's already done like this in heaven. So then we hear it. God is opening up our heart and our ears to the conversations that take place in heaven. And because it's already spoke in heaven, it is the doctrine of heaven. Okay? It comes to us and through us as the prophetic word. When we enter into that word, we can find the rest that's already in heaven. We can find the peace that's already in heaven, because his word spoken, settled in heaven, is already doctrine. I hope you're getting this. See? It's already doctrine in heaven. So then we get to enjoy what heaven backs. This is how we arm ourselves. See, this is the armor, the full armor of God. And it's spelled A-R-M-O-U-R. We get to arm ourselves. We inquire, he instructs, and he speaks to us prophetically. That's why he says in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. See, this is the strength of a praying man. See, because I understand that there is a wisdom that descends from above. And there is a wisdom that is earthy. It starts in the place below your calling. Come on, y'all. It is earthy. You are called, you've been made to sit together in heavenly places. And now you're going to try to get your information from a place that's earthy, a place that's sensual, a place that has a devilish proclivities. Devilish proclivities can be understood as simple weakness. Amen. Be it known unto you, pride is a weakness, not a strength. Oh, I'll say that again. Pride is a weakness, not a strength. You know how I know that? Because only by pride comes contention. After pride comes a fall. A man that falls is a man that's not strong. Amen. See? Pride is not a strength. It is a weakness. And there are plenty of believers that hide themselves in the pride that says they will not change their mind about this, that, or the other. And pride is not a strength. It is a weakness. We're supposed to be strong in faith. Never told us not one time to be strong in pride. He resists the proud. See? We're supposed to be co-laborers with Christ. Submission is not weakness. Maybe that's the problem. We think that submission is weakness. Submission is strength. Wow. Probably just turning a whole lot of things that we've been saying around. See? Pride is not strength. Pride is weakness. Submission is not weakness. Submission is strength. I mean, yeah, you can just see that. Here they've been telling us the wrong things almost most of our lives. And so then what do? We are found to resist God in our pride rather than submit to God so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So I would just ask you, as you look around the earth, the people that are functioning in their pride, can you see every evil work being made manifest? And I'm not mad because it's manifest. The Bible tells us it is our insurance policy. The works of the flesh are manifest. You can't keep them. You can't hide them. The works of the flesh are manifest. They will be seen. Glory to God. See? Why? Because you can't use them in heaven, so God is trying to get them exposed here so that you can change, so that you can belong as a kingdom citizen. But where there's envy and strife, there is confusion. He didn't say there will be. He said there is confusion. There is every. It hides, okay, there's the darkness that the sin will hide things. He said there is confusion, and confusion hides every evil work. You agree with it. You think it's right. One of the things that I said immediately upon the Black Lives Matter banner that was displayed is that this could not be God, even though the cause seemed noble. See? Because God doesn't do things that's going to be contrary to his word. Watch this. But the wisdom that is from above is first. Okay? It is first pure. Then after you see it as being pure, it is next peaceable. It is next gentle. It is next easy to be entreated. Full of what? Mercy. So if it's full of mercy, that means it can have nothing else in it. Is that correct? It is not mixed with pride. It is not mixed with anger. It is not mixed with hurt. It is full of mercy. And it is full of good fruits. It is without partiality. So just the name alone should tell you that that couldn't be from God, because everything that comes from God, this wisdom that comes from above, is going to be without partiality. So how can it be that only black lives matter? Is that not partial? See? That's why when I first heard it, I said, this can't be from God. Even though the cause seemed noble, the wisdom from above has got to be this. First, it has to be pure. So it has to be love, or it's not God. It cannot be revenge and be God. It has to be love, and love covers. Well, how long? I don't know. He didn't tell me. He just said love covers. When I get to the end of the multitude, however long that is, however many that is, then maybe I'll ask him. But until I get to the end of the multitude, I can't even talk about it. I think this is it. I think this is long enough. He said it covers a multitude. I'm only using scripture. See? I'm not embellishing or changing. See? Because the word stands by itself. It doesn't need help. It also doesn't even need interpretation. Amen. See? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the word be established. It is without partiality. It has fullness of mercy. If I'm judging or condemning you, how can that be fullness of mercy? I'm just asking the question. But I'm tired of this. Then see, your fatigue, you're tired of this, means you don't have enough of this. You will be functioning in a love deficit. Because the wisdom that is from God is not asking you to roll over and play dead. See, that's not what this discussion is. See? He's asking you to trust in the Lord with not some, but all your heart. Then he says, don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and listen for his direction. He will direct your path. Didn't need your help. So that you can, we making things right. He didn't need your help. He's the one. Wow. He's going to go beyond making all things right. He's going to make all things new. How about that? Because when you have that which is new, the Bible says you forget that which is old. See? But if you keep stirring up that which is old, then you're going to participate in old thinking and old ways. Amen. But if you will start finding that which is new. You know, one of the things that is supposed to be new in our lives? Out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. That's not old water, y'all. That's fresh. You a believer. Well, then out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And why did he say out of your bellies? Because out of your heart, the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So then if you're still speaking about something that happened in 18, whoever, then that tells you you're not participating in drinking the new water. Because out of your bellies should flow rivers of new or living water. Not dead stuff that happened way back there, living water. Because the living water that flows out of your belly will then affect other people or infect. Let's go both ways. Affect and infect other people with life. Amen. Okay? So then I don't have to go back and speak of the things which were already done. The things that were done, that's on God. If he's forgiven it, I have too. And I don't know that he's forgiven it or not, because I'm not looking to find, to judge other people. If I'm going to deal with other people, then I'm going to deal with them by covering any multitude of sin. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, you still got them. And those sins from Scripture, they keep you out of heaven. Unforgiveness keeps you out of heaven. Stephen was stoned, and he said, Lord, I receive my spirit. And the immediate words that came from heaven was what Jesus had told him. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, you got them. And then you hear Stephen saying, Lord, do not lay this to their charge. If he didn't forgive, his prayer of being received in heaven, over. Because as soon as he said that, there was an action that heaven initiated. See? Because you can see heaven in it. Do you think, just as a point of reference, do you think that while you're being stoned, the first thought you're going to think is, oh, I just want to forgive them? Do you think that's a natural response? No, it is not. It is, boy, help me get them, Jesus. Sick them, God. And then the response from heaven said, if you don't forgive, you got them. Next thing you hear Stephen say, Lord, do not lay this to their charge. And immediately upon saying that, the Bible says, now, it didn't say he died. It said he gave up the ghost. Jesus kept him alive long enough to get rid of the sin in his heart. Amen. I mean, that's how it plays out. See? Because he can't do for you what he hasn't done in you. He cannot do for you what he hasn't done in you. As you have believed, so be it unto you. He cannot do for you what's not in you. If you're going to walk around in condemnation, because he says there is therefore now no condemnation. So if you're going to walk around in condemnation and unforgiveness, he cannot cause the blessing that you need to come to you. That's just scripture, y'all. Not trying to make it up. Not trying to make you believe it. I can only present it. That's all I can do. After I present it, it's on you. It's exactly the same with Jesus. He presented it to them. If they wanted it, they can walk in it. If they didn't, he just said, well, it's on you. I spoke unto you the truth that no man has yet spoke. See? God doesn't get mad because you don't hear. He keeps preaching. Thank you, my God. He keeps talking. Today, if you would hear his voice and harden not your heart. See? But guess what? He's still going to be there tomorrow saying the same thing. His mercy is new because he didn't kill you in your sin, but his word remains the same. His mercy is true, but his word remains the same. I'm hoping you're getting that. See? He didn't change his word to leave you in sin, blah, blah, blah. He just extended more mercy to you. But the same word that you reject, you can write this one down. The same word that you reject from heaven is the same word that's going to judge you. Amen. Amen. It's not going to be another one. It's going to be the same word. It will not return void. He just didn't say when it was going to return. It's new every morning, but it didn't change. I guess sometimes we look at scripture and we look at what we think we want or what we want it to be, and we believe that. Why don't you believe why don't you hear what's said? Because even after it's said, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is going to bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. He's not going to bring to your remembrance what your mama said. Well, honey, now if they treat you like this, you know, he's not going to bring that to your remembrance. He's only going to bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. Amen. Because that's the only word that will last. See? He's not trying to make you subservient to anything that's not going to bless you forever. Come on, come on. That's good, sir. He's only going to give you that which is going to last forever. Your word, his word abides, it liveth and abideth forever. He's only going to bring to your remembrance that which is going to be forever. That which is going to pass away, he doesn't bring that to your remembrance. And all things, the old things, will do what? They will pass away. So he's only going to bring to your remembrance what's going to last forever. I don't know if you got that. That's one of the things you should write down. He's only going to bring to your remembrance things that are going to last forever. Your anger is not going to last forever. Your bitterness is not going to last forever. That is a temporary thing. Yes, sir. His word about your anger still lasts forever. Because he told you, as you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That's going to last forever. Okay? Owe no man anything but to love him. That's going to last forever. See, I'm trying to get us to the place where we can have prayers that avail much. We cast off, we bring into captivity all other thoughts until those thoughts obey Christ. See? We don't try to make heaven fit our way. We fit the word of God in our heart so that heaven can be displayed. It's not going to change. That's the way it is. See? He wants us to come to the place where the word that's in our heart is so alive and so powerful, ready to be released, that it will then bring to us the things that God has already spoken, prophesied over our life. Remember, doctrine in heaven is prophecy to us. How does it work in heaven? By what Jesus said. See, then it becomes a prophetic word to us, a word that will be birthed on the inside to bring the life that we already received from heaven into our situation, circumstances. Well, that's the way it works, beloved. See? Wow. See? It has to, according to Isaiah 55, it has to, my word shall not return to me void. The word that goes out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So until the word sent to you prospers so that it makes room for your life that you want to see, ain't nothing God can do. See? It has to prosper in you. He sent it to you. Okay. He didn't send the word to make somebody that's not listening to him change. He sent the word to you so that it can prosper in you. Again, God can't do nothing for you until he does something in you. A word that prospers in you now can go forth and bring into manifestation the things that God said, because it will not, come on, let's turn it around. It will not return void after it prospers. Come on. It will accomplish that which he pleases because it has prospered in your heart. Then nothing is able to stop it. That's why Jesus went around doing good, because he took the word and lived the word, showed us how to do that. Then it was time for something to be done. Jesus just said, okay, let me release the spiritual, supernatural force. Peter, why are you worried about our taxes? Tell you what. Go down to the water, and these are some very powerful words, and the first fish that cometh up out of the water. Did he say, Peter, the first fish you catch? Huh? Is that what he said? No, he said, the first fish that cometh up out of the water. So he made a fish his banker. You do know that fish don't generally grab gold and take it to a designated place. But because the word was alive in his heart, then he made declarations, and even the fish, the water and the wind obeyed him. Remember that? The Bible says it was a great storm. And then Jesus got up and said, "Peace be still." And he said it was a great peace. And the men say, "Wow, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Because he lived the word. Then he gave us a hint. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will make declarations. Ask what you will, and it shall be given you. He's invited us into. Okay, I'll say it this way. He invited us into this power. He did not invite our pride into this power. He resists the proud. He invited us into this power. So you cannot take your unforgiveness into this place where the power is supposed to work and expect it to work. He invited you into the power, not your pride, not your hurt. You're supposed to cast that over on him so that you can enter in. But that's not generally what we do, is it? We generally want God to approve of how we feel and how we think. And he says, well, that pride I simply have to reject. I called you. I called you to be converted into the image of my dear son. That does not look like the image of my dear son. My son learned obedience through the things that he suffered. You are telling me you don't want to suffer and grow past the point where the devil can mess with you. You just want to get out of trouble. My son was not trying to get out of trouble because trouble couldn't hold him. Trouble couldn't find him. Whew. I hope you heard that. Trouble couldn't hold him. Trouble couldn't find him. He was in the tower of safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. That's why he can say, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Run into the tower and be safe. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Run into the tower and be safe. Attacks will come, but nothing shall hurt you. See? I mean, it's just different when we see it from his perspective. See? From his perspective, there is no possibility to lose because he always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. It becomes paramount for us to believe it, see it from that perspective. Walk it out from that position. See? When you are thinking of how to do that, then you will have prayers that avail. You'll have strength of a praying man. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that men ought to always to pray and faint not. See? That's using the wisdom that is from above, that is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And without hypocrisy. If you're going to practice partiality, you're probably going to practice hypocrisy. You're probably going to say stuff like, it's their fault. Get them. When 50% of the things that happened in your life are your fault. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, whatever you sow, that's what you reap. You don't reap what your friends sowed. even though they were with you at the time of the sowing, you reaped what you sow. Amen. Every man, this is the way it happens. There's no two ways about it. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. He wasn't joking when he said this. Well, what about them? What's that to do with you? You sowed this, whatever this was. I didn't know it. I didn't say you sowed what you wanted to get. I said you sowed it. See, you didn't know it was going to be like this. None of us did. Because if we'd have known that, we just like they said, if we'd have known he was the King of Glory, we would have never crucified him. If we would have known. We just thought we was killing another man. And Jesus told him, you can't kill me. I laid down my life and I can pick it back up. This commandment have I received of the Father. You didn't kill me. I laid down my life. See? That's why he can say, Father, forgive them, because they were not understanding that this was a process, a mystery, it says, that was hid in God and Christ. See? So how many things have you done ignorantly and thought that that was the end of it just because you didn't know? My people, the ones I love, they are destroyed because they don't know. Lack of knowledge. See? But if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, no wavering. Tell me, God has already laid out the steps that we should walk in. But we're going to walk in, well, see, I need to do the tit for that, the this for that. He says, well, you don't understand. You're sowing to the flesh, and you shall of the flesh be corrupt. No, I'm just trying to get them back. No, you are sowing to the flesh, and you shall of the flesh. That's powerful scripture to me. Notice it said, if a man that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh. This is no longer his flesh producing it. It's of the flesh producing it. I don't know who is all involved in of the flesh. There can be some Hitler in the of the flesh, some Attila the Hun in of the flesh. I don't know who's in of the flesh. It went from my flesh, it sows to from his flesh. Then he reaps of the flesh. Things multiply in the kingdom. Just like blessings multiply in the kingdom, so does sin. According to that scripture, flip over there just so you can see it. Galatians, just so you can see it. I just want you to know, I'm not just making this up. See? So we can see this together. We read things differently. Therefore, we don't understand them accurately. Well, I'm trying to look at that thing. Okay, here it is, chapter 6. Thank you. I'm looking at another Bible. It kind of looks differently. All right, just so we can see it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. He that soweth to, circle the word, his flesh, shall, circle the word, of the flesh, reap corruption. It started out with him, did it not? His flesh. It comes back of the flesh. He didn't even say of his flesh, did he? He said of the flesh. Okay? So he's trying to get us to stop functioning by that. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, but he wants you to walk so that you can stop the process. See? Stop the process. Verse, look at this. You'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and I'm testifying in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. What happens if I do that? You will have your understanding darkened. A, you will be alienated from the life of God. How? Through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the hardness of the heart. Who being past feeling, they didn't just stop it. It felt bad. They went past that, he said. Have given themselves over lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The only thing they can work is uncleanness with greediness. All of it. See? But you have not so learned Christ. I mean, these are just places where you can go and say, wait a minute, that can't be Jesus talking to me. The Holy Ghost did not bring that to my remembrance. He's going to bring to my remembrance what Jesus said. I've given myself over to do what? No, I've had my understanding darkened from the life of God. I'm alienated from that because I choose to be ignorant because of the blindness of my heart. I'm past feeling. And I've given myself over unto working things without limit and without restraint, lasciviousness. And then I'm going to do that in a manner that all uncleanness and all greed for this power that I'm trying to wield on somebody else. Didn't learn this from Jesus. That's a wisdom that's devilish, sensual, comes from the earth. And he said, I haven't learned that from Jesus. See? I've got to get to a different place so that I can enjoy the grace of God. See? So that I will be able to walk in victory every day, all day. See, that's how we're supposed to function. See? We're not supposed to be trying to fulfill our own life, to fulfill our own will. We're supposed to be walking again. When we walk in submission, we walk in power. When we walk in pride, we walk in weakness. Okay? But you've not learned Christ. Christ didn't tell you. He didn't speak to you and say, you can do nothing through Christ who strengthens you. He said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So then if a thing needs to be done in your life, receive the strength and get it done. But what do? We give up on the prophetic word that God has given unto us. And we think about all the things that have happened to cause us unrest. We didn't believe what he said. See? We have compromised in our thinking, in our heart's position. And because we've compromised in our heart's position, we get exactly what we settled for. You see that? We get exactly what we settled for. I wanted to look at Acts chapter 12, so that we can, again, put our heart in the position where that which is supernatural can be done quickly. It doesn't matter about what was stated, what was said, how they said it. That doesn't matter at all. Let the word prosper in your heart, because he's watching over his word. Oh, that's good, sir. He's watching over his word to perform it. So then if your heart is filled with the word of God, that tells me he's also, by definition, has to be watching over your heart. Is that correct? Amen. He's watching over his word to perform it. So he's watching over what's in your heart so that he can say, good, now this is what I was wanting to do all the time. See? You have to release that. The effective prayer changes your perspective from victim to victor because you simply believe what he said. He said no weapon formed against you. He meant no weapon formed against you. He did not say you will not see. Wait a minute, first of all. He did not say the weapon wouldn't be formed. He just said it wouldn't prosper. So then why am I looking at the weapon when the weapon has already reached its maximum life? As soon as I see the weapon, its prosperity is over. No weapon formed against you can prosper. As soon as I see the weapon, it's over. See? It has no more life expectancy. It's dead now. See? When I understand that and function in that, I go to the place where he told me to in Proverbs chapter 18, when he's in verse 10, when he says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. See? I'm in the tower, strong tower, not a weak tower, and because I'm in that tower, I am automatically safe. So then what can harm me, just as a, give me some definition, what can harm me if I'm in the tower safe? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'll see it. Only with my eyes shall I see and behold the reward of the wicked. He said, I'll be up in this tower and I'll see my enemies come out against me one way and they will flee before me seven ways because I'm in the tower. I'm in the place of safety. So while I'm in the place of safety, I can then make decrees out of the deposits of grace. That's something that happens in the times of intimacy that prayer produces. That's how we're changed. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we are changed from into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He said he'll never leave me or forsake me. So then, as I'm in that tower with him, the change should happen. And I go from glory to glory. And that change is done by the Spirit of the Lord. See, he put deposits of grace in my life right then, in the place of safety. And that causes me to have the power of expectancy, because the prophetic word that was spoken to me in the time of safety, in the time of trust, in the time of belief, gives me the ability to win. Jesus asked a question in Luke chapter 18. He says, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? That tells me he's going to be looking for it. See? So then, as I believe God, in that place of safety, then God says he will make his enemies, whose enemies? His enemies. These are not my enemies. These are his enemies. They're coming to take away the position of faith that I've been given. See? When if I believe what he said, then the Bible says in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus, what he speaks, what he says, it is the spirit of prophecy. See? So then I keep rehearsing what Jesus said. Holy Ghost keeps bringing it back to my remembrance so I can rehearse what Jesus said. And he said that is the spirit of prophecy. When we take his testimony as our prophecy, we win. That is the power of expectancy. Those that know their God will be strong. They will do exploits. See? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those that have a perfect heart toward him. See? God has a track record of whatever in zero, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the odds. He's the God of the impossible. And when I hear him and understand him as the God of the impossible, now things become possible. See? And when things become possible, okay, this is what he said to me today. He's the God of the impossible. And now things become possible. And when the things that are possible are seen, they can get done. Yeah. He's the God of the impossible, so that now things are possible. And when that which is possible is seen, it can get done. See? I don't have to worry about it anymore. I saw him as the God of the impossible, and now, right now, now faith is, now things are possible. Now all things are possible to him that believes. And when things that are possible are seen, they can get done. You want movement in your life? There it is. He's the God of the impossible. And now things that are possible can be seen. And when they're seen, they can be done. Acts chapter 12. Just kind of look at this. See, the devil tells you you're trapped. It's over. But God, in those times where you trust him, in that secret place where you get to know him, in the tower where he's protecting you, things now become possible. And when they're possible, they're easy to get done. Let's look at this. It says, now about the time King Herod stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. I don't know how many men, soldiers, a quarterion hold, but he put him in between four quarterions of soldiers. And Peter therefore was kept, it didn't say, and Peter was just outside. It said he was kept in the prison. This looks like an impossible situation, doesn't it? Okay, let's keep reading. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto him. It says that prayer was made without ceasing. You can tap into the impossible deliverance of God, because when it's impossible, he makes it possible, because he makes it seen so that you can be done. Learn the principles. And when Herod would have brought him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And if that wasn't enough, the keepers before the door kept the prison. Peter was put in the place of peace. He was sleeping. When you're under attack, learn how to trust God to the point where you can get you some sleep. Just believe what he said, that God knows how to deliver, that God is interested in the things that concern you, and he will perfect them. See, when you have this mindset, you'll find your way to sleep, being kept in that strong tower. He was sleeping. Prayer places us in the place of peace and moves heaven right in the midst of our trouble. Prayer takes you from, oh, why, oh, what's going to happen, to the place where my God is able, right in the midst of your trouble. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. I mean, if you was going to do something to me, it would be like we're going to do this by candlelight or something. But no. He said the light shined in the prison. He wasn't hiding it. The God that you serve is a God that has the ability to display his greatness. And the light shined in the prison. It didn't say the light shined in the cell. It didn't say the light shined in the hallway. It said the light shined in the prison. And the angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And when the angel said that, notice what happened. The chains did what? Fell off. It did not say. And the angel unlocked the chains. It said the chains fell off. Supernatural intervention. Why? Because we have been placed in peace. And then the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, put on your sandals." And he did. And he said, "Now, come, cast your garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed the angel. And he did not know that it was true that which was done, but which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. Here's some things that we can learn. Peter was expecting to see the supernatural. He thought he saw a vision. He did not, ooh, my God. He did not think he saw an escape plan. He thought he saw a vision. Okay. He thought he saw that everything was going to be all right and that he was going to be removed from this place and go to another place. He thought he saw a vision. So he expected to see the supernatural. And then when they passed the first and second ward, you know, there are times that God will take you through the thing in reverse. Because he first came into prison and went into the first ward. But then to make it seem hopeless, he was taken to the second ward. But God walked him back out of that thing that was impossible, didn't he? He took him past the first and the second ward. See? And when they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, the gate did what? Open unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street again. They passed through one street. And as they got through one street, the angel departed because he says, "Now you are on your own." See, God does things to cause us to be able to know that he was there, that he's present in every situation, in every circumstance. See? So he took him out of the first and second ward and then took him to the iron gate that leads to the city and opened that iron gate, opened of his own accord. They went out on one street. See? Where do you see yourself in this explanation of spiritual execution? Would you have gave up when they put you between four quarterions of soldiers? Would you have gave up when you were kept between two soldiers with two chains and people was outside? Would you have gave up when you were in the midst of your deliverance? Come on now. When you were in the midst of the deliverance that God gave to you, but you thought it wasn't a deliverance. You thought it was just a dream. Would you have given up? See? And then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all of the expectation of the Jews." See? God is letting us see how much do I trust him. Am I going to just say if everything is working out the way I want it to, that we good? Am I going to be up all night worrying and scared and praying and crying? Or am I going to enter into that place of rest, that place of peace, so that I would then know that the thing that God has promised, the word of prophecy to me, is the word that causes me to hold on to that. I hear that which was impossible, and now it is made possible so that it can be done. But I'm going to stop when it's just all impossible. This can't happen. No, don't stop when you see the impossible. Let it be made possible so that you can see the thing get done. Oh, but the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? Are you going to allow God to do the things that could not be done because he's made a promise to you, because he has showed his grace to you, the deposits of a truth that comes prophetically so that you can walk out of the snare that the enemy has set before you? Or are you going to be the one that gives up because you don't like the process? When God just showed us, he reversed the process for those that believe. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thank you that we see and expect grace to show up even when things are impossible, knowing that when we see that thing as possible, we'll make it easy for it to get done. Thank you, Father, for encouraging us by accounts in the Bible that we see over and over and over again. Cause us to walk in that truth, to live by that truth, so we can give glory and honor to your name. We ask and receive it as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, beloved, I asked you at the beginning if you have any questions or comments, that you can write them down, and now we'll give you an opportunity to share those questions or comments about today's ministry. Area code 678-524-7768. Any questions or comments about today's ministry? Area code 678-524-7768. You have the mic. Amen. Amen. And again, this is not a mandate for you to show anything that you might have to show. It's just, what did you like? What did you learn? How can you find a way to apply it in your life? Area code 708-475-2693. Area code 708-475-2693. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? Amen. Amen. I'll go back to 678-524-7768. You have the mic. Go ahead. Okay. I see your hand, but I don't hear any comments. 678-524-7768. All right, well, the other people have dropped off. And so, again, I just want to thank you for joining us here at livedeliverance.com. And I believe that this message has been a blessing to you. And if God lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just simply go to the website and you'll find the donate tab. And you can just follow the instructions there. And this is just really saying a physical amen and a thank you for the things that God has set up for you to hear, to be encouraged by, so that we can all grow in faith with one another, beginning to understand how God wants his kingdom citizens to function and flow, so that people will look to us and see that there are answers in God that gives them the opportunity to enter in. It's not because God loves us more than he loves anybody else. He just wants you to enter in by that grace wherewith you have been saved. So until the next time that we join together and get a chance to share, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next time, beloved, God bless.